call the meeting of the South Dakota Public Utilities Commission to order of January 30th, 2013. It is approximately 2:30 p.m. We are in room 413 of the Capitol Building in Pierce, South Dakota. My name is Gary Hansen. With me today are Commissioners Chris Nelson and Christy Feagan. The first item on our agenda today is Consumer Reports. Status report on consumer utility inquiries and complaints received by the Commission, and our Director of Consumer Affairs, Deb Gregg.
Thank you, Chairman Hansen. The Commission received a total of 100 contacts since the last report was prepared for the January 15th, 2013 Commission meeting. 15 of the contacts involved telecommunication service, 19 of the contacts involved electric service, 15 contacts involved natural gas service, 13 contacts involved cell phone service, 14 contacts related to the Do Not Call registry, and 24 contacts related to issues not regulated by the PUC. We still have one complaint open in 2012, so 1,955 of the 1,956 complaints received have been resolved, and in 2013, 137 of the 161 complaints received have been resolved.
Thank you very much, Ms. Gregg. Are there any questions? Hearing none, the next item on our docket is under electricity. EL 12-061, in the matter of the application of Black Hills Power Incorporated for authority to increase its electric rates. Question before the Commission today is, shall a Commission grant intervention to any parties that may have filed? And do I turn first to Ms. Kramer or Ms. Edwards?
I would ask if Black Hills has objections or see if any of the interveners want to speak to their...
Probably the petitioner first.
Right.
And seeing that the petitioner's on the line, we have actually three people on the line. Mr. Magnuson.
Thank you, Chairman. On behalf of Black Hills Power, appreciate the opportunity to be on the phone today. There are three petitions to intervene in the rate case that's docket number EL-12061. The first one is with regard to the Black Hills Industrial Interveners. They filed that petition several weeks ago. We, on behalf of Black Hills Power, filed a statement of no objection with regard to their petition to intervene. Since that time, and actually just very recently, as in a day or two ago, we've gotten two additional petitions to intervene. There's one petition to intervene on behalf of Regency Midwest Ventures Limited Partnership and Deadwood Resort LLC, and we've also received a petition to intervene of Walmart Stores and Sam's West, Inc. With regard to both of those petitions for intervention, we would request additional time to determine how we intend to respond to those petitions for intervention. I believe that under the administrative rules of this commission, we have 15 days to respond, and we intend to respond certainly within that time period. But we are not at a point today, in view of the filings just within the last day or two, to take a position on whether or not we're going to object to those petitions to intervene, and would respectfully request that this commission delay the decisions on those intervention requests.
Thank you, Mr. Magnuson. And so you're saying that you do not have, I didn't quite catch all of those, but you do not have objection to GCC Dakota, Inc., Pete Lean & Sons, Rushmore Forest Products Incorporated, Spearfish Forest Products, and Rapid City Regional Hospital. Is that correct?
That is correct. Those are the entities that I've referred to as Black Hills Industrial Interveners. That's the way they referred to it in their petition, and we did file a statement of no objection with regard to that petition.
All right. Thank you. And I'll turn next to the folks who have filed and have heard that Black Hills Power objects to their, at least at this time, wishes a continuance, basically, to examine their request. So, Walmart, you would be up first. We have two people on the line from Walmart.
Yes, sir. We actually have three. This is Meshach Rose on behalf of Walmart from QTAC Rock. My colleague, Kevin Burr, is also on the line, and he is going to do the speaking today on behalf of Walmart. He is actually on the phone. So, Kevin, I turn it over to you.
Thank you very much, Meshach. Mr. Commissioner, my name is Kevin Burr. I'm an attorney admitted to practice in South Dakota and am originally from South Dakota. We represent Walmart in this matter. Walmart has an interest due to its heavy investment in energy efficiency and demand-side management technology, we feel that we have some concerns that relate directly to the financial interest and the cost of the service, the rate design, and policy determinations that will be considered. We obviously understand the position taken by Black Hills Power with respect to the request for some time to analyze our petition to intervene, but we think we've timely filed it. We think we've stated a reason why we should be allowed to intervene, and we've met the burden of going forward with an intervention in this matter. So that's where Walmart sits at this time.
Thank you. Appreciate that. On your articulation, I wasn't quite certain whether or not you are specifically objecting to giving Black Hills Power the time that they're requesting.
No, there's no objection to that time.
Thank you. Are there any of the other parties who have requested intervention who are not a part of Black Hills Industrial Interveners who are on the line with us or present in the room? Anyone represented? If not, I'd like to hear from staff. Ms. Kramer?
Thank you. This is Karen Kramer of staff. At this time, I would recommend the commission grant intervention to the Black Hills Industrial Interveners. And then because intervention does not run in this matter until the end of February, I would then wait on the other two till the next meeting.
Thank you. Are there any questions from the commissioners? Hearing none, is there a motion? Commissioner Nelson.
I move in EL 12-061 that the commission grant intervention to the Black Hills Industrial Interveners.
Discussion on the motion? Hearing none, Commissioner Feagin. Excuse
me. Feagin votes aye.
Thank you. Commissioner Nelson.
Aye.
Hansen votes aye. Motion carries. Next item before the commission is under natural gas. NG 12-007, in the matter of the filing by Montana Dakota Utilities Company for approval of its revised conservation tracking adjustment. The question before the commission is, today shall the commission grant Montana Dakota Utilities Company's request for approval of the revised conservation program tracking mechanism rate 90 tariff effective February 1st, 2013. And Tammy Aberle is on the line with us from MDU. Tammy, excuse me, Ms. Aberle.
Thanks, Chairman. Thank you, Chairman Hansen and Commissioners. I also have Carla Hahn, Regulatory Supervisor, and Larry Oswald, our Energy Program Manager, with me here today as well. The filing before you, as you noted, is a request to adjust Montana Dakota's conservation tracking adjustment to reflect a true-up of actual expenditures and the projected 2013 expenditures based on the gas conservation portfolio you approved effective in April of 2012. I first want to address the number of submittals we made in a short time in this docket. The primary reason for the filings and updates was to update actual expenditures as that information became available. We are requesting a process change pursuant to discussions with staff that we think will alleviate this issue in the future. As I noted in the January 22, 2013 letter, we are requesting to move the review period to provide the opportunity to file updates reflecting calendar year expenditures with a suggested effective date of March 1 each year in the future. And then we would submit those updates as soon as practical in January when we have access to actual information through December. Now, getting to the matter of the filing before you, the participation in the gas conservation portfolio in the last year was very good. Based on our revised Exhibit 4 submitted on January 22nd, participation in the Black Hills area was at about 94% of what we had anticipated, and East River was slightly over that. Given the favorable gas costs we are enjoying today, we looked at the 2013 budget again to confirm the portfolio remained cost effective. This review caused us to request some changes and adjustments in participation levels. Carla Hahn will review those with you momentarily. The revised conservation tracking adjustment proposed in the January 22, 2013 filing reflects a decrease from the currently effective CTA rate or conservation tracking adjustment rate for both the Black Hills and East River areas. And the estimated decrease is approximately 70 cents for a Black Hills customer and $2.60 for an East River customer using 100 decatherms annually. The decrease is attributable to the fact that the prior adjustment was based on only a 9-month recovery period, and the requested adjustment per decatherm is actually now based on a 13-month recovery period, February to February, if our proposal to move out to a March 1 change in the future is granted. The total costs to be recovered reflect an increase, but the per unit charge is a decrease because of that recovery period. I'll now turn this over to Carla so she can provide an overview of the actual expenditures and the updated 2013 portfolio.
Thank you, Ms. Aberle. Carla?
Good
evening, Ms. Hahn.
Thank you. Montana-Dakota analyzed the cost effectiveness of its 2012 program results using actual 2012 gas costs of $4.42. And we determine the total portfolio is cost-effective, with the exception of the residential water heating program and the residential new construction furnace program for 95% efficiency or greater equipment. These programs failed the total resource cost test, or the TRC, due primarily to the low gas costs we saw in 2012. At the time of our December 7th, 2012 filing, the Department of Energy's minimum efficiency standard for residential furnaces, where the baseline efficiency would have changed to 90% effective May 1st of this year, was still pending. However, the Department of Energy has since rescinded its position on the minimum efficiency standard, and therefore we reevaluated our 2013 participation levels and budget. We analyzed the 2013 program's cost effectiveness using projected gas costs of $4.58, and all of the programs passed the TRC test, with the exception of the new construction residential furnace program, which comes in just below passing, and the 0.62 water heating program that also failed the TRC test. With an increase of 25 cents in gas costs, the new construction furnace program passes. However, the 62 water heating program continues to fail. Therefore, to summarize, we propose to include the following programs in 2013. Residential furnaces of 95% efficiency or greater for both replacement equipment and new construction. Residential water heaters with an energy factor of 0.67 or greater. The residential programmable thermostat program. Commercial furnaces of 95% efficiency or greater. And a commercial custom program. Montana-Dakota requests approval of its revised CTA rates effective with service rendered February 4, 2013. The company is in the process of converting to its new customer billing system, and that will be available February 4th. And with that, we are open for any questions that you may have.
Thank you. Appreciate your presentation, Mr. Stephenson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Pat Stephenson of staff. This energy efficiency filing has the primary purpose of truing up the CTA rate attributed to the demand-side management rebate programs approved in docket NG11-006 for the calendar years of 2012 through 2014. This true-up has three components. One, to true up any over or under recovery of program costs for the 2012 calendar year. Two, to recover the 2012 DSM incentive. And three, to recover the projected costs for the 2013 calendar year. The total program costs in the 2013 budget are very close to actual costs in 2012. However, there are a couple noteworthy differences going into 2013. One, as was mentioned, the 0.62 EF water heater program has been removed due to its failing the total resource cost test. And two, there are now budgeted costs associated with the energy audit program, as it is now up and running. Staff recommends approval of the CTA rate with the February 4th, 2013 effective date. Thank you.
Thank you. Appreciate that. We have a number of dates here. If I may just ask a quick question. Effective date was originally requested of February 1st and a billing cycle date of March 1st, and now I understand that the request is for service being provided on and after February 4th of 2013. Is that correct?
Correct. This will be for services rendered on or after February 4th. And upon approval, they'll submit a revised page that notes that.
Thank you. Appreciate that. Are there any further questions from the... Just thinking if there was additional staff to speak. I don't believe there is. Are there any further questions from the commissioners? Hearing none, is there a motion? I will move that the Commission grant Montana-Dakota Utility Company's request for approval of the revised conservation program tracking mechanism rate 90 tariff effective February 4th of 2013. Is there any discussion on the motion? Commissioner Fegan?
Fegan votes aye.
Commissioner Nelson?
Aye.
Hansen votes aye. Motion carries. The next item on today's agenda is under telecommunications. Item number one is in the matter of the failure of certain telecommunication companies to timely pay their gross receipts tax. And we'll turn to the finance manager, Cindy Chemnitz. Cindy.
Thank you, Chairman Hansen. I'm Cindy Chemnitz for staff. Last meeting, I came to you and asked you to issue an order to show cause for against Univance Telecommunications, Inc. for failure to pay their gross receipts tax on a timely basis. Since that time, I discovered that Univance Telecommunications, Inc. is in bankruptcy and potentially subject to an automatic stay. Therefore, I request that the Commission withdraw the order to show cause for Univance Telecommunications, Inc.
I'm going to assume, and perhaps I shouldn't, that Univance is not on the phone, but I'll ask anyway if Univance is being represented here. If not, are there any questions from the commissioners? Is there a motion? Commissioner Nelson.
I would move that we withdraw the order to show cause for Univance Telecommunications at this time.
Any discussion? Hearing none, Commissioner Fegan.
Fegan votes aye.
Commissioner Nelson?
Aye.
Hansen votes aye. Motion carries. Next item is also under telecommunications. It is TC-12-184 in the matter of the application of Common Point LLC for a certificate of authority to provide local exchange services in South Dakota. The question before the Commission is, today shall the Commission grant the certificate of authority to Common Point LLC? Ordinarily, I'd turn to the petitioner. I don't see that they're represented. Oh, they are. Who is that? Ms. Semler, good to see you again.
Good to see you. Thank you, commissioners and staff. This is Kara Semler, and I'm here today on behalf of Common Point. And as promised, Common Point has resolved all of the outstanding issues with the interveners, who are also represented here today. If you'd like to hear further about the resolution, but we're here today simply to ask you to grant the certificate of authority pursuant to that stipulation.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it. Interveners, are there any interveners who wish to address this item? The chair observes a lot of heads. Now, nodding means yes and
wagging.
That's called wagging. I don't know what it's called when you're moving your head saying no. Anyone from staff? Ms. Edwards, is this yours? Oh, Mr. Jacobson.
Thank you, Chairman. we'll just note that the stipulation says that the order in this matter must contain portions of the agreement, and this has been done in previous dockets, so we have a good template for doing that. And also, the applicant has agreed to be restricted by the Commission to not offer any prepaid services to retail end-use customers, including prepaid calling cards, and will neither accept nor require from retail customers any deposits or advance payments without prior approval of the Commission. And with that, we would recommend approval.
Thank you. Is that Everything that you just explained, is that a part of the joint stipulation? Is that written into the joint stipulation at this time?
Not all of it.
Okay.
Not the restrictions.
All right. Ms. Semler, would you like to respond?
Just the restrictions are not. Those are restrictions requested by staff, not the interveners. But we have communicated with staff, and they've correctly stated our agreement.
All right. Thank you very much. Any other questions from the commissioners? Hearing none, is there a motion?
Mr. Chairman.
Commissioner Feagin.
In TC-12-184, move that the commission grant certificate of authority to Common Point LLC with stipulations and staff restrictions.
Thank you. Is there a discussion on the motion? Commissioner Feagin.
Feagin votes aye.
Commissioner Nelson.
Aye.
Hansen votes aye. Motion carries. Next item on the agenda under telecommunications is TC-12-193 in the matter of the approval of the ICC VoIP amendment to an interconnection agreement between Quest Corporation doing business as CenturyLink QC and McLeod USA Telecommunications Services LLC doing business as Paytech Business Services. The question before the commission today is, shall the commission approve the amendment to the interconnection agreement? And we have CenturyLink, Mr. Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Wayne Johnson with CenturyLink. For this item, TC-12-193, as well as the next item, TC-12-194, these are routine amendments to our interconnection agreements, and CenturyLink would simply request your approval. Thank you.
Thank you. Is Paytech represented? Ms. Kramer.
Thank you. This is Karen Kramer of staff. The amendment was properly filed, properly executed, and does not appear to contain discriminatory provisions. No comments were filed. Staff recommends the commission approve the amendment to the interconnection agreement.
Thank you. Any questions by the commissioners? Is there a motion? Commissioner Nelson.
I move in TC-12-193 that the commission approve the amendment to the interconnection agreement.
Discussion on the motion? Commissioner Feagin?
Feagin votes aye.
Commissioner Nelson?
Aye.
Hansen votes aye. The motion carries. Next item is TC-12-194 in the matter of approval of the ICC VoIP amendment to an interconnection agreement between Quest Corporation doing business as CenturyLink QC and Windstream KDL Incorporated. Is Windstream KDL Incorporated represented here today? If not, Ms. Kramer, Mr. Johnson gave his remarks to 194 previously. Do you have anything to add on 194?
I do not, other than staff would recommend the commission approve the amendment to the interconnection agreement.
Thank you. Questions by the commissioners? Hearing none, is there a motion?
Mr. Chairman.
Commissioner Feagin.
TC-12-194, move that the commission approve the amendment to the interconnection agreement.
Thank you. Discussion on the motion? Commissioner Feagin.
Feagin votes aye.
Commissioner Nelson.
Aye.
Hansen votes aye. The motion carries. TC-13-001 in the matter of the application of Nexus Communications Incorporated for designation as an eligible telecommunications carrier. Question before the commission is, today shall the commission grant a waiver of ARSD 2010-3243-02 and designate Nexus Conditions, Inc. and ETC for the designated service area for purposes of receiving federal Lifeline Universal Service support. Nexus Communications. Good morning, Mr. Kenneke.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman, Commissioners, and staff. Brett Kenneke for Nexus Communications. We have filed an application, have answered staff's data requests to, I believe, their satisfaction, and I think we're ready to ask for your support this afternoon, and would be glad to answer any questions to the best of my ability. Thanks.
Thank you. Mr. Stephenson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Pat Stephenson of staff. Staff has reviewed the application by Nexus Communications for designation as an eligible telecommunications carrier. Nexus has satisfactorily replied to all data requests and has confirmed that this filing is for designation as a wireless, lifeline-only ETC in non-rural areas. Staff believes Nexus has met the requirements of all applicable South Dakota administrative rules, except 20:10:32:43.02, for which they requested a waiver. Furthermore, Nexus has submitted its compliance plan to the FCC and received their notice of approval. Staff recommends the commission grant waiver of 20:10:32:43.02 and approve Nexus's application for a ETC designation. Thanks.
Thank you. Are there requests for intervention on this docket?
Nope, there are not.
Have we allowed time for that, this juncture?
If I might, Mr. Chairman, there was an inquiry from Rich Coit at South Dakota Telecommunications Association, and he asked, and staff joined in the request, for me to file a letter of clarification, which I did yesterday, and I understand from conversations with both that they're satisfied and that there were no other requests for intervention or even inquiries into it. That's the most I know on the topic.
Thank you for clarifying that, Mr. Kennedy. I appreciate that. I see a resemblance of Mr. Coit in the audience shaking his head yes.
Yes.
Thank you.
I think the deadline for intervention...
Well, could you... The deadline for intervention, according to Mr. Coit, was Friday. Thank you very much. Ms. Weiss, did you have anything on this issue that you wanted to address?
I guess the point was that I believe the notice to the other companies was just made recently, according to our rules.
I understand.
As opposed to the intervention. And my question is whether that had given other parties sufficient notice. And then my other question was on the where they're actually intending to serve. I know I had a previous docket, but they actually gave a list of exchanges. And I think it would be very helpful to actually have a list of exchanges where they intend to serve, because I found the map to be somewhat confusing, because the shaded area just says Quest Non-Rural Rate Centers. Does that mean that's where they're going to serve? I think we need a list of exchanges.
Thank you. In relation to the interveners, though, according to our rules, a notice has to be sent out specifically, and that then there's a period of time, a duration of which they needs to pass before we can take action?
There's not a specific time period. My issue here was that the filing was made at the beginning of January. I believe the notice that was required by our rules to other ETCs was made just last week. And so just in the interest of fairness, my issue is whether there should be sufficient time. I think the other issue is whether we should have the company provide an actual list of exchanges so we know where they actually intend to operate for sure, as opposed to relying on the map.
And would, since Mr. Coit is in the audience, or Ms. Rogers, I'm not sure who might be representing them, but are you here to represent that you represent those other exchanges and that you do not desire intervention?
Chairman, commissioners, I guess the only thing that I can indicate is with respect to the notice, the letter notice that was sent to the other ILECs that are affected by this or other ETCs that are affected.
Excuse me, sorry. The only thing that I can say is that I actually did have some email communication with everyone on this list except the individual from Quest, obviously, and the individual from Knowledge. And the individual from Mid-Continent. Everybody else in this letter, I actually did have some email correspondence with, I was charged with, you know, basically trying to get some clarification as to whether this just applied to Quest areas, which we did get that clarification. I would agree, though, that a list of exchanges kind of follows previous practice. And the map isn't all that helpful because it's not in color and it's very difficult to tell. The exchanges aren't even named on the map. So a list of exchanges would be helpful. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Coit. And it was Questnology and who?
Mid-Continent.
Mid-Continent. Thank you. Other questions by the commissioners? Commissioner Nelson?
I am of the opinion that one of the most significant issues that we deal with in this country is an increasing dependency on government programs. It appears that the business model of your client plays into that. Would you agree with that? And if not, convince me otherwise.
I'm not prepared this afternoon to answer a question like that, Commissioner. I appreciate your question, but I'd want to have a much more substantial discussion about that. That was a short question, and it deserves a long answer, and I don't know that I'm ready to give you one here this afternoon.
And I agree, and I'd love for you to take whatever time, because it's something that really weighs on me as I look at this particular business model, and I'd love to have an answer to it. Thank you.
Further questions by the commission?
I have.
Oh. Or by staff.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Ms.
One
Reese.
Additional is, and also, could there, you check, I don't know if you actually, if they intend to serve any parts of any Indian reservations. I didn't see anything on your Lifeline link up that would address those requirements. And maybe you don't. I don't know.
So it appears that we have some questions regarding having a list of actual exchanges. Answers from or opportunities for Questnology and Mid-Continent to respond, and question possibly on reservations, and some discussion regarding Commissioner Nelson's concern. Anything else of concern at this juncture on this item?
I perhaps have one more. I'm sorry.
Okay.
Keep thinking things. And maybe it was in there and I just missed it, but who is the underlying carrier? They just mentioned a major carrier, but who are they actually relying upon? You know, we're supposed to look at your technical capabilities to provide the service.
I will add that to the list, Ms. Weiss. Thank you for the question. Mr. Chairman, I think these are our important questions and they're deserving of time and consideration, and we'd like to provide a comprehensive answer to all of them rather than scattershot it here this afternoon. So if that would be acceptable, that's the way I'd intend to respond.
Absolutely, and I'm trying to remember whether or not it was answered in the readings, whether or not the applicant intends to rely exclusively on universal service funds or the new acronym for the starts with a C, CAF, thank you, USF disbursements to operate. Just curious on that.
Very well.
Can't recall what I read on that. Any other questions that we need answers on? If not, if it's acceptable to the other commissioners, we will simply defer this item to future when we can have that information that's been requested.
We'll get it for you shortly, and I would hope to be on the next agenda. I don't intend to take a lot of time. I intend to spend my time putting together acceptable answers and getting it back before you in a short period of time, I guess is what I'm trying to say.
Thank you very much, Mr. Kennecke. Appreciate that. With the deferral of TC 13-001, we come to the end of our agenda. Announcements for this particular meeting are: the next regularly scheduled commission meeting will be Tuesday, February 12, 2013 at 2:30 p.m. in room 423 at the State Capitol Building in Pierce, South Dakota. The PUC offices will be closed Monday, February 18, in observance of President's Day. The commission meetings are also scheduled for February 26 and March 12, 2013. Is there a motion to adjourn?
Move to adjourn.
Commissioner Feagin?
Feagin votes aye.
Commissioner Nelson?
Aye.
Hansen votes aye. Motion carries.